The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Roman numeral 6 in our doctrine, surpassing grace. Of course, by now you should be in fellowship, having exercised a couple spiritual functions related to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But everything else centers around, everything else, this is the center, the teaching. Everything else is important, but this is the essential part, the core, the heart, the reception of divine viewpoint, so that you can be refreshed, challenged, and even corrected as you advance spiritually in time. Let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Father in heaven, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together so that we can continue to maintain our spiritual walk to the end. Thank you for this opportunity, this day. Challenge us and encourage us with regard to the things that we cover in this regard, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have taken a look at grace as it applies to the salvation adjustment. The key point there is, if it's by anything other than faith in Christ, then it's not of grace. Grace is excluded in the salvation adjustment if people are trying in any level to try to work their way to salvation. I'm not saying that people who are confused, misinformed, are not saved. I'm just saying that the theology is that it is faith in Christ, no merit in the individual at all, nothing we can do is required of us in order to attain eternal salvation and escape the wrath that is surely over those that do not believe in this lifetime. And moving on, we are now going to deal with phase 3 grace. We dealt with phase 2 grace, aspects of it. Phase 3 grace we call surpassing grace in phase 3. It refers to the special blessings and rewards reserved for us in phase 3. Our terminology, phase 3, is based on the fact that the plan of God is divided into three separate but related areas. Phase 1 is the moment a person believes in Christ. They're under the phase 1 blessings. Phase 2 is the believer in time, extends from the point of salvation until God calls the individual to phase 3, or heaven, the afterlife. Phase 3, of course, is the eternal state, all aspects of it. And surpassing grace refers to the special blessings and rewards received for believers in phase 3. The terminology is taken from Ephesians 1:19. First Peter 1:4, to obtain an inheritance. This inheritance, all believers inherit. We're all children of God. We all will inherit There's the most basic level, the foundational level, a resurrection body with all of its benefits. No negatives. In the reconstituted body of the believer in time, the actual body you possess in time, regardless of its disposition, its condition, no matter how far it's scattered, wherever it is, will be brought back together, and you'll have a resurrection body exactly, precisely, like the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. Just looking at his humanity and its glorified state, you're going to have a body identical to that, physically, dynamically. Nothing less. You'll still be you. You still be identifiable as you, with all the improvements. That's the basic inheritance. But on top of that, and what we are striving for here at Maranatha Church, or should be striving for here at Maranatha Church, are the above and beyond rewards of the afterlife. And there are so many different ways in which you and I can produce divine good. Crank out divine good. And for all divine good that we produce every day and every way, there is a reward attached to it. The nature of that reward, I cannot tell you. I can tell you all about human rewards, things, material things, experiences, on and on and on. But I cannot tell you very much about the actual nature of SG3, what it is. In the human realm, we differentiate people based on their economic status. That doesn't mean that they're going to thrive, however, if they're stupid. There are people that are smart and acquire things that are useful and enjoyable, but that's temporal things. Temporal things are limited because of temporal life and all the other factors that work against material things in this realm. People know this real well. People have lost fortunes, up and down, all conditions. Eternal reward is for all believers who are willing to listen and make application in fellowship. There's certain qualifiers. It has to be sponsored by the Word of God. It has to be something, some activity. Campaigning for global warming won't cut it. Another hoax that they put down on us. But anyway, involved in a lot of these crusades, things of this nature to illustrate, will not get you SG3. There's lots of human good operations out there. Divine good production is those things sponsored in the Word of God. Imperatives, directives, do's, don'ts. You get reward for these things. So we will receive an inheritance. And this inheritance transcends human inheritance. Human inheritance can be wonderful. Some of us have been recipients of that. But human inheritance is limited. It can't overcome aging. It can't overcome death and all the other kind of things that can come against the material realm. Disaster. Thievery. All of it. To obtain an inheritance, which is, it's kind of like to an inheritance. You can see the words in italics here in the New American Standard. The word obtain and which is fine, but to give it. But to an inheritance. See, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the foundation for it. To obtain an inheritance, imperishable, it won't perish. Material things perish in a variety of ways. And undefiled. Undefiled means it can't be corrupted. Material things can be abused and corrupted in association with the sin nature. And will not fade away. In other words, it will not lose its luster. All SG3. I can't even imagine it. How can you focus if, for those who walk away with a tremendous amount of SG3, how can you focus on all of it? I don't know, because I don't know the nature of it. I'm closer to understanding the resurrection body, but then I come up against a wall after I think about it for a little bit. And that's fine. I have a scripture that says I will. I don't have to understand all of its dynamic. All I have a frame of reference for is the physical body. Good health, bad health, enjoyable, not enjoyable. I have just a frame of reference for that. I don't have a frame of reference for the resurrection body. I just believe by faith I'm going to get one. And by all the other doctrine we know, not too far off. Thank God. I'm going to get it. And get away from this and get into that perfect resurrection body. Then, when I get my SG3, I don't know in what form it comes. I don't know how you differentiate between some ordinary, easy task that you did for somebody, like the one the Bible uses, even giving someone a cup of cold water in my name, i.e. in fellowship, you get a reward for that. Well, what's that come down to? That's the mystery, a part of the big mystery of the afterlife. What is it? Not to mention the really big aspects of SG3 based on major testing and suffering, including even maybe martyrdom. That type of SG3, that's bigger. God gives units of SG3 based on what's involved, like people would do. Reserved in heaven for you. So it's already there. It's reserved for you. We know what it means when someone says, we have a seat reserved for you. We have this reserved for you. So we understand that part. So it's reserved in heaven. It's already set up based on, I presume, foreknowledge. The terminology, see, this is something that a lot of Christians don't connect up with because they're not taught this way. I'm sure they've heard of eternal rewards. But the importance of it, it isn't some, I'm just going to be happy to go to heaven. Well, then, okay, fine. You'll get your wish. God is pleased to reward believers in this life and in the one to come. He enjoys bestowing blessing on His children, His obedient, adjusted children. Saw a marquee on a church here. Jesus is coming real soon. Are you truly prepared? I would have changed truly to completely. Because there's two aspects. There's the one that gets you there, salvation adjustment. There's the second one that garners you eternal reward and the ultimate award, the wreath. That's the top one. What is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? All right. It is available to all believers, but not all believers will receive it. Because all believers are not obedient and are not compliant with the requirements to produce even one unit of SG3. Like being in fellowship. That's critical. That's the differentiation between producing human good that is not rewardable and divine good. There will be an awards ceremony right on the heels of the rapture of the church off of the earth. That awards ceremony is broken down by the Apostle Paul, or we wouldn't know this. And it is broken down into, if any man's work, which he has built on it, 1 Corinthians 3:14, remains. Now, how do you display this? Again, I come up against a wall. I can't explain this. We have to be there, and we'll go, oh, okay. Then we'll understand it. Somehow, all of our human good, all of our good deeds will be on some kind of a display. I don't know how that works. That's, for one person, that's a lot of individual actions that they have performed in time. Like doing chores, all of it, going to work, raising a family, all the things you can imagine are all the works of an individual believer. Now, you know, the last judgment, unbelievers will have their works trotted out in front of them. It's recorded to demonstrate that their works are not good enough to get them salvation. But here, the works, if it remains, he'll receive a reward commensurate with any man's work. That's collective, not just one deed. That's collective. It's a body of work performed in time, from your salvation until you're out of here. The body of work you've done, all of you, all your activities you've engaged in. I'm not saying everything is rewardable. I'm just saying that a lot of it is rewardable. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. So there is going to be, as it were, this human good, things we have done out of fellowship. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13. If you do not have love, then what's this? All this is it's nice, I mean, in a sense, but it doesn't get you any reward. It's in vain. So we'll have a lot of that. Just live with it. We'll all have a lot of human good, and it'll be burned. The Bema Seat has nothing directly at all to do with human sinning in time. That's taken care of through the work of Christ on the cross, our salvation adjustment, and so forth. That's all taken care of. No one's going to be run through a ringer in that regard. The only ringer, if you want to call it that, that'll be run through is those who come up short on the big reward, the crown. So we'll have a believer who has very little SG3 corporate because they were saved at the end, or they died early. They didn't have a long history to accumulate a lot of SG3. I can name somebody. The Apostle James. If you look at his career, it was short-lived. Yes, he produced SG3 before he was martyred, but he will get his crown. But he will not have the pile of SG3 that the Apostle John, his brother, first and last disciples, to go into phase three. But they'll both be rewarded with a crown, and both will get their names memorialized in the New Jerusalem foundations. Not bad. You know, people like to put their names on buildings and things. Name turnpikes after them. Whatever. Hospitals. Whoever. That's how they'll be memorialized. These fairly ordinary young guys who follow Jesus. This is the plan. It's for everybody. You're not shut out because of your economic station or any other factors you could possibly name. The plan of God is for those who are in the human race at any time among those of the lower economic strata, poor. The plan's open to them. It's open to all. We've studied the Bible. We've seen people from all walks of life embrace the truth or heard of. All walks of life. From the very top of the human chain down, who have embraced the truth and followed it, and some of which have qualified themselves for the crown. My favorite example is Moses. Because Moses gave up what he had achieved in 40 years. He turned his back on it. He resigned, so to speak. And he identified himself with what, before the cosmos, would have been utter foolishness. You gave all that up to line up with these enslaved Israelites. Of course, he fled Egypt. And they probably sat around and said, this is unbelievably stupid. He's not here. They're still slaves. What is this man thinking? Well, they found out 40 years later. It just takes some time to vindicate the actions of the righteous. Well, Moses processed all this while he was on the top of the cosmos, the top of the world. He had anything he wanted, anytime he wanted. Massive wealth, power, and all the trappings that go with it. He had lots of talent and ability. His achievements, he wasn't just some person that they piled stuff on. He had human achievements as well. Led armies. It's brought out in Acts. He walked away from it. You will be hard-pressed to find anybody even remotely close to that in our world today. It may change. That you will find will do that. And you can read all about his achievements in Hebrews chapter 11 to encourage you. He collected the data. He got the information. While living the life of a privileged Egyptian, he got all the data about his people, about his roots, about his background, and that became more real to him than the treasures of Egypt. He figured it out. And he turned away from it in his soul and broke away from it physically. Who would you rather be, Moses or somebody like him who didn't make that move? He made it. He walked away from it. The appeal of the... He was looking, it says in Hebrews, he was looking to the reward. It is not selfish to be looking to the reward. You are not selfish. In human life and human existence, people engage in activities for a payday. A trophy. And they go through what they go through, deeming this all important at the moment. Instead of, I got the talent, I got the ability, I got the opportunity, but you know what? I'm going to stay in that local church and I'm going to grow in grace and prepare myself for the afterlife. And I got the talent and I got the ability to go out here and be an all-star, whatever it is. Another name that will be, for some of us, we can remember some of the old sports stars. And that's just one arena. We can remember their names. A Mickey Mantle. He was a believer, by the way. Became a believer. But anyway, we remember their names. Their glory has faded away. It's enshrined in some museum and books. That's it. It's fading. The only reason it hasn't completely faded away is because it wasn't all that long ago. So it's available to all believers who will receive it. And that's 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15. And all these other verses in the Word of God where we have references to this topic. And of course, the one in chapter 9 is the crown, the summum bonum, the top one. Don't ever think this is something just a big deal. It will come down as unbelievably great, beyond anything you could hope for or imagine or think up. And all the aspects of it, I don't know. So we're caught on that one. But like everything else, we operate on the principle of faith. Faith. The Bible says it, we believe it. And our faith will be sight when we get a hold of the blessings associated with phase three. In the meantime, we have faith. We believe that we will be ultimately, under ultimate sanctification, body, soul, and spirit. Someone would, they'd keep an eye on that guy. See that he departs from here. Appreciate it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? We got that, don't we? They all run. But only one receives the prize. In the ancient Olympic world of the Bible times, they didn't have a second and third place. They had a first place. One guy, one person, won an event. And in this case, we're talking about track and field, running races where there's multiple individuals competing against each other. But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. There are rules. Oh my, rules. Christianity isn't a free-for-all. Do what you will. I saw one marquee over there in Yukon. Come here for an experience. Really? That's just great. We had to chuckle when I saw that one. Not come here for the truth. Not come here so you can succeed in the afterlife. Come here for an experience. And I see all these big churches with all the little funny signs out there. These are the Christians running amok. Not a clue. Not a clue as to there are rules in this race, and you all are apprised of them. We've studied them together over and over and over. You got to be in fellowship. You got to be in a church that is reasonably teaching the truth, where people are growing and they're advancing with regard to their doctrinal understanding. Verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine, and so forth and so on. You've got to be doing that. An athlete cannot just throw the rules aside. He's disqualified. We understand that perfectly. That's why they have referees. They're supposed to be observing that the players are not violating the rules of a particular sport. So you can't violate the rules. And we've seen all these people get busted because they violated some rules. They did drugs. They did something that was illegal. Or in the actual event itself, took illegal measures and disqualified themselves. You can't be shoving the other player, tripping him. You got to stay in your lane, as it were, whatever their rules are. And those who run in a race all run. All Christians are introduced to the race at salvation. But when I was brought into the plan of God, until I got on some good doctrine, I didn't know beans about it. I honestly did not. Nothing was brought to my attention on a daily basis that, Jack, you're in a race and you need to run according to the rules if you want to get this crown. I mean, it wasn't taught in any way. It might have been mentioned. They all run. But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. All right? And so forth and so on. We have a lot of scriptures that all believers are in the race, to use the athletic metaphor, and that's the one Paul uses, the athletic metaphor, or you're disqualified from the prize. That 1 Corinthians 9 is not dealing with individual units of SG3. It's used with regard to the summum bonum, the top, the peak. That which is done apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit under the rubric love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. When He fills us, we walk in love. And we conduct ourselves with our certain types of behavior that's indicative that we are operating in love of God and love for one another. Is rejected as human good. And of course we have the chapter that features that. I like it because it reminds me of the fact that I can be up here teaching, I can do this and that. If I'm not in fellowship, and even if I'm out of fellowship, I can still tell you the truth. It doesn't when I get out of fellowship, I can't remember anything. It doesn't work that way. I'm out of fellowship, I can remember the truth. I can remember everything about what I've learned. It doesn't go by the wayside because I'm out of fellowship. Because if I didn't, then I wouldn't even know how to get back in fellowship. So I know what I need to do. So the exercising of spiritual gift. Maybe this is the one I have the most problem with. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, this is not, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I related this not to eloquence. Now, some people have natural eloquence. Moses was an eloquent public speaker. In the New Testament, Apollos was known for his eloquence. Others did not have eloquence. That's a non-essential. It's just a talent or ability some people have, either through training or their natural inclinations. We have, you know, public speakers in our history, the great communicator, someone who can communicate and communicate eloquently before people. Others are not as adept. So I don't take this as being eloquent or not eloquent. But the function of the gift of tongues, speaking in a language you were not trained in, it's a phenomenal thing to have the Holy Spirit. We don't have any experiences like that, where someone is able to articulate the plan of God in a foreign language not native to their upbringing and training. Supernatural. It's akin to a Samson with his strength. Just the ability to be able to roll out for a little bit. So if the gift comes upon him, I don't know. We weren't back then. You could actually do this out of fellowship. Really? If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. See, he uses extremes to make a point. And if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Yes, I have some problems with working through all of this. He's trying to drive home the importance of this. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, you probably wouldn't. Let's use an extreme to make a point. And if I surrender my body to be burned, if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. I guess you could even mess up martyrdom. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? You messed up martyrdom. So if you become a Christian martyr between now and then, be sure, it goes back to the basic thing, be sure you're in fellowship through the process. Oh, you might be able to get out for a minute, rebound, get back in. So at the moment of your demise, you have love. Of course, you pray about it and understand it you don't want to mess that up. I suppose you could be have any number of mental attitudes going into it. You're wanting to show off. You can mess up anything. You can mess up martyrdom. And fail to cash in. That's not one you can come back from and say, oh, let me do that again. And he mentions a kind of martyrdom. And if I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Characteristics. I know when I'm not patient with things, and I know when I am. It's a determination to wait things out. Let it work itself out. It will. Get impatient. I probably will be impatient about something before the day is over. Love is kind. It's not hard to be kind to people. It's not jealous. So you know, we have to have what it is and what it isn't in order to have some to have something concrete. It's not jealous. You're not jealous of anybody around here, are you? I presume there were people in the past that might have been jealous of me. Me? My job? Well, I guess you can be jealous of anything. Love does not brag. Now, you can boast in the Lord, and that's fine. You can say, you know what God did for me? And, of course, there's a fine line, maybe. God bless me. God help me here with this. He does not brag. He's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Well, there's a million ways you can act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account. This is a good one. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. We're all going to suffer somebody doing something wrong to us. It's just going to happen. It's like, you know, bad weather. It's going to come down. And someone is going to do something that's inappropriate, but you are not, as a believer, to carry that on down the road and take that into account and treat them differently than if this had not occurred. God doesn't do that with us, does He? Oh, you did that. Keep bringing it up. We don't have a God like that. It's forgiven. That's nice. We don't have to walk around on eggshells. He forgave us. And so it does not take into account a wrong suffered. Meaning that basically, you treat the believer in grace and you treat him like you always did. You don't, well, obviously hostility, but you don't give him the cold shoulder. You know, we call that a cold war versus a hot war. We don't do that. So think of all that maybe somebody's done to you that was hurtful and painful. It does not take that into account, and you can do it. The Christian life is a supernatural way of life in which you can come overcome these base instincts that operate in so many human beings where they hold grudges and act accordingly for the rest of their lives. We're not to do that. But rejoices with the truth. Doctrine and the truth pumps you up. Bears all things. Okay? I got to endure that. I got to put up with that. Yes. If that's a part of the Christian way of life and you're going through it, then it bears up under these things. All things. Jesus did in His life on earth. Bears all things. Your allotment of suffering. We each have it. Believes all things. And again, context, the truth. Hopes all things, again, the truth. Endures all things. All right. The Bible doctrine prepares us for every good work. That's why we study it. It takes effort. We miss, as believers, so many opportunities, even the best of us probably. Second Timothy 2:21. For most of the believers here at Maranatha Church, you know these things pretty well. You're pretty much up on these things. I love analogies. The Bible helps us out. What's the analogy here? To you being clean spiritually, i.e. in fellowship. What is the analogy? Now in a large house, it'd be like a mansion with a lot of rooms and a lot of accumulated things in its place. In a large house, and of course this is someone who is wealthy, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware. Lesser quality material, but they're there. And some to honor and some to dishonor. I'll let you use your imagination there. I guess you could have a gold toilet. It's dishonored, isn't it? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he is a vessel for honor, sanctified. How do you cleanse yourself? Well, first of all, you use 1 John 1:9. And then you move forward, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And then he goes off on Timothy and giving him some personal exhortation because he was a young fellow. Now flee from youthful lusts. Don't follow what the young crowd's out there following. We know what they're following. They want it all, they want it now, and their lust pattern is supercharged. We know that because we were young and we've observed it in young people. They're going to go headlong so they can have all this funsville and all this stuff right now. That's normal for you, for young people. I know, I was a young person. You know, this and that, funsville, sex, this, all that stuff. Yeah. Fast car, clothes, whatever it is. That's youthful lusts. And pursue righteousness. Faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord from a sincere or pure heart. All right. There is a special category of SG3 for those who stick with MPR to the end, as I've noticed, as I've said thousands of times, I believe. There's this special thing that we're after. In the meantime, we build up our general SG3 account with a view to somehow, some way, qualifying ourselves. I mean, God will do His work in us and through us. He knows our hearts. He knows if we're sincere about this. He knows if we're weak. He knows what we need, if it'll take it, to snap us in line. And so there is this special category. I'm in chapter 10 here with this. These believers, do we have believers like this in Maranatha Church at any given time? After we've been here for years and years and years? I don't know. God knows. That they are flagging spiritually. I know that I've had believers who are flagging. And any number of things can do that and make that process go on. Just developing a bad attitude. Or desiring other things, or tired of whatever it is. And so the Hebrew Christians, who had made a terrific start to their Christian lives, Jewish believers living in the land, suffering a lot of persecution, because you've never been persecuted until you've been persecuted by a fellow Jew. I just made that up. But they really do come down on their own. They are close-knit. And if you, well, you step away from their system of faith and say you believe in Jesus Christ, you're disowned. This is very common. It isn't, well, okay, whatever you believe, you're still my whoever. No, you're disowned. It's serious. You're a traitor. And so these Christians lived. It wasn't like they could just, I'm going to go live somewhere else. These people are crazy in their persecution. No, that's where the niche was for them until 70 AD. And they were under that. So, what do? To their own, as it were, their own people, race, they discriminate. They don't give them jobs. They take it even higher. They confiscate property, steal it, because they got the backing of the religious authority. This is what happened to these believers. And they did it beautifully. Because they had the doctrine to understand that these people, this was a persecution, God's got it under control, and they're just handing us SG3. They're handing us SG3. When they take my stuff, I'm going to get some more stuff back. And that became so real to them. Because in the meantime, God's still going to take care of me. That's all stuff God can replace. Let them do what they're going to do. If it ever comes to that for us in this crazy world, that kind of persecution, I haven't foreseen it happening. It could. I just can't foresee it happening, even with all the nutty stuff that's going on out there. And it's really nutty. I don't know if this will all just fizzle. They'll get tired of protesting, walking around in the streets. They're fed up with it. You know, Americans are pretty shallow. Their causes kind of get dimmed down the road. But I know it's crazy, because you know why? Why would Popular Mechanics, you know the magazine, why would they have an article to show people how to pull down statues? I read a headline to that effect. I don't know if it's true or not. You can go see if you can verify it. What is wrong with people? What has this world come to? Well, it's, you know what it's come to. Amazing. Last days and the things that are going on and the things we're suffering even now at a certain level, although we haven't seen anything yet. And I'm not saying we will. Christians around the world may be and are in various ways are being slaughtered, literally, because they're Christians. Can't live and let live. You go to your mosque, I'll go to my church, blah, 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 let everything go. No, that's not the nature of the cosmos. But remember the former days. I tell people this, and I've told people this from this pulpit. Remember how enthusiastic you were back in the day? And I don't expect it to recreate that environment because it was all new and we're all new to it and we're not looking to nitpick. We're just so glad that we're on top of the truth and got delivered from whatever it was out there we were buried in. We liked it. Oh, we had all of our warts and all of our problems, but we liked it. And we liked to get together and toast to it, if you will. We like that. Of course, a lot of us were a lot younger then. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. Order of events. You get enlightened, you start getting some doctrine, and then you start experiencing some form of persecution from family or friends. It's almost a given. But you get the enlightenment part first, and then the heat comes. God prepares you for it. See how easy that is? You endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations. Those are unspecified. And partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You fall into good company, because there's a long historical line of people who were persecuted for the faith, going back to righteous Abel all the way down the line. We have suffered, and we're going to be rewarded for it. And what is it that buoys us up, among other things? And For you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Some of you went to jail. And you didn't say, oh, I'm not going near there. I don't want to be seen around them. No, I'm going to go down there and support my friend who's in jail. I'm going to show up right down there. People back then and to this day can visit people in prison. So I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down there. I'm not ashamed. I'm going to go down there and encourage my friend. And he'll probably turn around and encourage me. Prisoners. And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Swallow that one. And why could you do that? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Knowing that they're handing you SG3. SG3 has to be a motivator with regard to situations like this. When people lose their hard-earned possessions, their dear things. Imagine it. Imagine it. It probably won't happen to you, but then I don't know. I don't know what we'll come up against. But I know one thing, for most of you, if it comes down to this, you are going to have a celebration in your soul for the SG3 that's coming to you. You'll have a lasting possession. And this has to somehow, at some level, resonate with us. Can you imagine how great this is going to be? I'm up here making up stuff. Pie in the sky. I'm telling you the truth. And these believers were able to fall back on the SG3 doctrine. Not just that they were glorifying the Lord. They were glorifying the Lord. But they were taught this. They were taught. There's SG3. And there's a lasting possession and a reward for those of you who put up for a little while with this abuse. And then, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. This is not the time to throw in the towel. Because this chronic situation has continued clear down this line of history. We could probably put some numbers on it, years-wise. But they were about to be delivered from that too, because they were going to exit the land of Israel and reestablish new homes and new environments. So in the meantime, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, and that relates to the big one. Let's take our break.